that song. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to ask all of you to take your church directories and place them under your chair, please. Don't use them as fans. Take your church directory, please, and put it under your seat. Now, again, the rules are those who had their pictures taken through the company gets one first, and then whatever's left we'll leave out on the table. And should be some left, and pass those out. And they turned out pretty good. And we will handle, if we do a church directory in the future, it will be handled differently, I'll guarantee you. But it was very, very nicely done. So appreciate, Miss Sim is the one who put all the work into that. And I appreciate her. I think she's working somewhere tonight. But working around here somewhere, getting ready for the food. But I appreciate her. Many, 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 you don't know how many hours, lots of hours put into that. All right, Hebrews chapter 1. We continue our study in the book of Hebrews. And again, the title of the series is Living Color Christianity. And again, the allusion there is to we are no longer living in the shadows and in the black and white of the Old Testament, but we're in living color, for color, in the New Testament. That all the various rituals that took place in the Old Testament, all the sacrifices that pre-pictured Christ, now we have Christ in front of us in the New Testament. No more of the Old Covenant, and on with the New Covenant. And Hebrews' chief purpose is to tell us that Christianity, which is Christ, is far above or better than what is found in the Old Testament and in Judaism. Let me again just tell you that the New Testament is far better than the Old Testament. Hebrews declares that. Corinthians tells us, Paul says, that it's far more glorious. The New Testament is far more glorious than the Old Testament. And it's emphasized over and over again throughout the New Testament. Again, Hebrews urges Jewish Christians not to go back to their Jewish rituals. And I'm just going to add this tonight as I studied some more. In chapter 6, Paul tells them, and I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, that they are to go forward. So it tells them not to go back, but to go forward in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? I think it's more than just saying, all right, don't go back to your old stuff. But he says, hey, go forward in the new covenant. Go forward in that relationship with Jesus Christ. I think that's a good application for us tonight. You know, we get stuck in our ruts. We get stuck in the area of our relationships many times. That happens in marriage, but also happens in our relationship with Jesus Christ, where we just kind of get stuck in the same spot, not growing and not going forward. And Paul just declares, hey, go forward. Go forward. Keep going on in your Christian life. In chapters 1, verses 1 through 3, Christ is perceived and shown as being greater than the Old Testament prophets. That Christ is greater than the Old Testament prophets. Again, the prophets spoke to man for God. They took God's message and proclaimed it to man. So why would Jesus be greater than the prophets? Well, He is the message. He is God. And because He is God, He knows the message. He is the message. And I think that's awesome. And He's greater than the prophets because He's God. He is the message. And then we began studying last time in verses 4 through 14. In fact, chapter 2 also carries the same argument over in that it tells us that Christ is greater than the angels. Christ is greater than the angels. So Paul is laying out for us, the book of Hebrews is laying out for us how that Christ is superior to that Old Testament economy. That Christ is superior to the Old Testament covenant. That Christ is superior to the Old Testament Judaistic system. Why? Because He is greater than the prophets. Why? Because He's greater than the angels. And the Jewish religion put a lot of emphasis upon angels. They believe the angels, and there are a couple of references in Deuteronomy that the angels had a part in delivering the law to the nation of Israel. And so they put great stock and just put a lot of emphasis upon the angels. So Paul is debunking that, saying that Christ is better than the angels. He's above. He's superior to the angels. Again, we see in chapters 1 and 1 through in verses 4 through 7 that Christ is better than the angels because He has a better name, because He is begotten and not created. The angels were created. Christ was begotten. He was not created. And thirdly, he was worshipped by the angels. He was worshipped by the angels. And he was served by the angels. Well, if you're worshipped by the angels and you're served by them, then you must be greater than them. And so Christ is greater than the angels. Now in verses 8 through 14, we'll cover tonight that Christ is better than the angels. And there are, in beginning of verse 4, there are seven Old Testament references. And I just want to just touch on this briefly, that Hebrews doesn't just jump into this and say, all right, he's better, and you just get over it. But the Hebrew writer goes back and uses seven Old Testament references to prove that Christ was better than the angels. We've already gone over three of them. In verse 5, he uses Psalm 2, verse 7, 2 Samuel 7:14, and in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 1, he uses Psalm 104, verse 4, and then we're going to see verse 6, he uses Psalm 97. And we're going to see three other references tonight that he uses to show us that Christ is superior to the angels. Look with me in verse 8. But under the sun he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministers, ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Let's pray. Lord, be with us tonight as we study, as we think, and as we ponder upon the Scriptures. And God, reveal to us again just the fresh, your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think about him being superior to the angels, he's superior in person. Look at verse 8, he says, but under the sun he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. But it says there, but under the sun he saith, thy throne, O God. His throne is superior in that it is no earthly throne. Earthly thrones come and go. If you think about the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom had 19 kings and like 7 or 8 different dynasties or 7 or 8 different families that reigned over the northern kingdom. And all the kings were bad in the northern kingdom. The southern kingdom had many kings, all the same dynasty, all of the same family. But again, Israel had its ups and downs. God would prosper them when they obeyed him and when they worshipped him, and when they got away from him, God would curse them and they would be captured and feel the wrath of God. And it was ups and downs, ups and downs. And then finally, the northern kingdom was carried into captivity, and there no longer sets a throne, and there no longer sets a king on the throne of the northern kingdom. The southern kingdom was defeated, and the king was set aside. But can I tell you that Christ's throne is not that way? His throne is forever. His throne is forever. It's eternal. We'll cover that again here in a moment. And notice the scripture here. This is a quote from Psalm 45, verses 6 through 7. And I'm not going to turn over there. This is a quote from Psalms, a messianic psalm about Jesus Christ. All right? Now notice what it says. But under the sun he saith. This is God talking about his son. He saith, thy throne, O God. Can I just say that Christ is superior because he is God? This has already been pointed out, but it expresses his deity. In my Bible for the last couple of years, and I've tried to stay consistent with it, I use a blue pen to highlight the various places in which the deity of Christ is put and talked about in the Bible. This is a great scripture to prove that Jesus Christ is God. The Father, the Heavenly Father, called his son God. Everyone with me? The cultists, this would be the Mormons and Jehovah Witnesses, some of these, their translations read different because they can't get a hold and they can't, they have to clarify in their Bibles, so-called Bibles, that that simply says deity. Instead of saying God, it says deity. Well, the translation, the Greek says God. This is the right translation. He says, God the Father says of the Son, Thy Son, O God, calls Him God. Isn't that good? Right? That's good. You may not understand the deity of Christ. We don't fully understand the deity of Christ. But you start marking it down in your Bible, there are many, many references in the Gospel of John to the deity of Christ. Many. We may not fully understand it. We just have to accept it. By faith, accept it. Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, these three are one. Amen. Absolutely. The deity of Christ, He says unto the Son, O God, He is superior to the angels because He is deity. And then again it says, "For He is forever and ever. The throne is forever and ever. Of His throne there shall be no end," the Bible says. "And He shall reign forever and ever. And as a man He will sit on the throne of David and reign forever and ever and ever." We read the scripture in the Old Testament there in Samuel last time, where it talks about that the throne of David is forever. And that's because the Son of God is going to sit on it. Then we see that His throne, His scepter, will be a scepter of righteousness. His scepter of righteousness and of Thy kingdom, that when He rules and reigns, that He will reign justly. Can I say that Jesus Christ, when the millennial kingdom set up and we rule and reign with Him, that kingdom will be a righteous kingdom? By that I mean Christ will rule in righteousness, uprightness. In other words, He'll rule justly. He'll rule fairly. There has been no king like Him who can rule in such a fashion, because we're mere men. David was a man. He could not always make the right decisions, but Christ will never make a wrong decision concerning His people, right? His wisdom knows no end. His wisdom's far above us. Who can teach God? And so as He reigns, He will reign in righteousness. He will always be just. He will always be fair. Why do you think the millennial kingdom is going to be a time of great joy? Why do you think the heavenly kingdom is going to be a time of great joy and gladness? Because we'll have a king who will reign, who is selfless, who will put others in front of Himself. Everyone with me? He is righteous and therefore will reign righteously. He is upright in everything He does. He is fair. He is just. And again, we think about our country today and the things going on in the various courtrooms today, and how that we see so much just, you know, outright slander against Christianity and so forth. I mean, just put it out on the table. We see that it's going to become more and more as the day approaches. It is. We're living in the last days. Just get ready. This hate crime legislation that passed, hate crime legislation, if you kill a person, he's dead. And you should die for killing him. No matter what color he is, how can you judge someone's thoughts? I mean, hate crime. This hate crime legislation one day will play a part. It will play a part in Christians being unjustly pointed out and unjustly tried. You get ready. It's happening in other nations. Not happening here yet, but it will. Our great and wonderful president who went back on the Marriage Act that was put in place by Clinton, of all people, who now says that the Marriage Act was unconstitutional. And they want to give rights to the homosexuals. I'm telling you, there'll come a day, if you own a business, where you have to hire someone who is living in gross immorality. You'll be required to. Just as you're required to hire them because of their race, color, and other things. Boy, what are we to do? Again, homosexuality, we're to love the sinner, but we're to hate the sin. As I said, homosexuality, we need to be reaching those. with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Homosexuality is unlike it's like any other sin, the sin of drunkenness. I wouldn't hire a drunk and hire him to be a part and be an employee in my business. Why would I hire a homosexual who has such a gross immorality and sin in his life to be a part? I know I'm getting particular here now. We're living in the last days. And I'm telling you right now, the unjust things going on in our society and in our courts, it won't be that way with Jesus Christ. He will reign justly. There won't be unhappiness because He's always going to be fair. Isn't that good? I'm so looking forward to that rolling reign. Then we won't have to gripe and complain about our government and other things, right? By the way, we live in the greatest country on earth. I'd rather live here than anywhere else. And with all its problems, it is still by far and large the greatest country in the world. And if you don't like it, we'll pay for a ticket. You can leave. Just try to find another place like America. Amen? And I don't want to leave without saying that. But the greatest kingdom that will ever happen will be the kingdom of Jesus Christ, that He will rule and reign. And we're looking forward to that day. And then we see that He was the anointed. And thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. By the way, that was while He was here on earth. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows, above those who reigned on the throne of David. Jesus Christ has been anointed with the oil of gladness. You see, Samuel anointed David. Elijah anointed Elisha. But God anointed His Son. I don't know about you, but that puts Him way up there. That puts Him way up there in my book. So we think about those who were anointed. The oil of gladness, the oil of joy. His kingdom will be one of gladness and one of joy. I said it this morning, I'll say it again. Christians, we ought to be the happiest people on earth. Honestly, we ought to be. It ought to be a part of our everyday life to get up and just say, Lord, thank You for letting me live today. And thank You for allowing me to be Your child and to go about my day. And I'm not saying you have to go about skipping and hopping and whatever, you know, like you're in some fairy tale. Life has its ups and downs. But there ought to be a continual and overall gladness and happiness in your life. Continual joy, the Bible speaks of. That joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then we see His power. We see His power in verse 10. It says, And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands. They shall perish, but Thou remainest. And they shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But Thou art the same, and Thy years shall not fail. This is a quote from Psalm 102, verse 25 through 27. And we see here that God, that Jesus Christ has power, that He is eternal, the eternal Son of God, and the universe is temporal. Everyone with me? He has great power, and His power is in creation. And the angels are part of that creation, but He is the Creator. He is immutable. He is unchanging. He's the same, the Bible says, today, yesterday, and forever. In other words, the universe is winding down. The universe is fading. But Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He never changes. As we talked about here, and we understand that the sun is shrinking. I mean, it's over 600,000 tons a day that the sun loses. We know that, again, things are winding down. Everybody understands that. The earth is winding down. The universe is winding down. It's not evolving, it's devolving. Absolutely. This global warming thing, and again, I've already gotten political once, I'll get political again. Global warming, is man causing the earth to wind down? I don't think so. I don't think so. It's just happening. Volcanoes put out more CO2 than we can put out in 3 or 4 years. Just one explosion. Just one volcanic explosion. The earth is winding down. Now, whether it's going to wind down and get hot or going to get cold, I don't know. And scientists can't figure that out. But it is winding down to a certain degree. That's common sense. Every scientist needs a guy with common sense sitting beside him. It's like every road engineer needs a guy with common sense sitting beside him. I'm not saying nothing. I know we got engineers in the building. I'm just saying specifically TxDOT. Maybe somebody needs to review their books every once in a while too. But for those who, again, we understand and know that things are just evolving. They're going down. We know that he says there that they shall perish. Talking about the earth and the universe. But thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment. I mean, our clothes wear out, and the earth is wearing out, if you would. That's the illustration here. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. The earth will be destroyed. And God will create, Christ will create a new heaven and a new earth. And I'm looking forward to that day as well. Perfect. Perfect world. And what a great day that'll be. Jesus Christ. We are living in the last days, but He is the deathless, ageless, changeless Son of God. He is immutable. By that we mean, because of that, we can depend upon Him. We can't depend upon our government. We can't depend upon others around us. But we can always depend upon God because He never changes. The earth changes, the winds change, but Jesus Christ never, never changes. And then when lastly we see His position, it says there that, verse 13, but to which of the angels said He at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. When has He ever told an angel, hey, sit here on my right hand till I defeat all your enemies? He never said that. This is a quote from Psalm 110, verse 1. And the Hebrew writer is just pointing out that this is a reference to the Messiah. And God said to the Messiah, Son of God, sit here on my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool. Oh, man. Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He shares that throne room of God. He is enthroned in glory. He is the God of the universe. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. There sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And there ever living to make intercession for us. Can I just remind you that angels serve Him there. They are ministering spirits. They do His bidding, not the opposite way. They do the Messiah's bidding. They do the Lord's bidding. They serve Him. The next verse clarifies and says, are they not all ministering spirits? Sent forth to minister for them who shall be what? Heirs of salvation. Boy, there's just something to hold on to. We know they serve the Lord. We know they serve the Son of God. But the Bible says they're ministering to us. There's a verse over in Psalm 37 that may allude that we have guardian angels, but the Bible never specifically says we have guardian angels. But Psalm says that we have angels who are ministering to us and ministering to those around us who are Christians. And whether or not we have an angel with us all the time, I don't know, and the Bible doesn't clarify. But they absolutely do minister to us. The Bible speaks of us, you know, attending to angels unaware. You never know. But I'm so glad that we know the angels minister to those who are saved. But again, the point is this. If they minister to the Lord and they minister to us, what level are they on? Right? By the way, the word minister there is the same word used for deacon. It means servant. They're merely servants. You see, they're servants, but Christ is sovereign. He's God, and He's above all. They're servants, but He is God. There are servants to the Lord and servants to us. All of these quotes from the Old Testament affirm that Jesus is superior to the angels, that He's far above His creation, that He is God and Creator, and one day will usher in a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth, an eternal throne. And that throne will be a righteous throne. I'm telling you, there won't be any gripes about Obama. There won't be any gripes about the Supreme Court. There won't be any gripes. He'll rule righteously, fairly, anointed with gladness, with the oil of gladness. Christ is addressed by God, and God speaks of Christ and His throne. Just get these now. In this one little section, this is it, I'm done. I know these are a lot of facts, a lot of information, not a lot of application tonight. But think about this for a moment. In this one little section, the Heavenly Father refers to the Son and refers to His throne, refers to His scepter, refers to His kingdom, refers to His character, righteous, refers to His exaltation, Him being set at the right hand throne of God, refers to His creative power, He created all things, and refers to His immutability, that He never changes. All within the short little scriptures, just these few verses, we have the character of Jesus Christ, the attributes of Jesus Christ described for us. Are they not the attributes of God as well? Again, I think the point the writer of Hebrews is trying to make here is, and he does it over and over again, whether it's concerning the prophets or concerning the angels, that Christ is superior because He is God. He is sovereign. He is creator. He is above. He sits on the throne. He is immutable. He never changes. All these great attributes that in no way describe us and that in no way describe the angels. They can only be attributes of God. He is God. He is sovereign. He is King. He is God in the flesh. And let us worship Him. Let us be reminded that He is immutable. He never changes, and therefore I can depend upon Him. No matter what's going on in my life, He is wise. He is wiser than and will always have my best interests in mind. And then I'm looking forward to that eternal kingdom, that righteous kingdom, that just kingdom. And one day He will rule and reign here on earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He already King and Lord of Lords, but one day He'll rule and reign here on earth. On the throne of David, an eternal throne. Let's all stand.